Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This hour is brought to you by Shepley Wood Products, your local Anderson Windows dealer.
This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
And the pitch, swing, there's a shot to right field, hit well. Back goes Pilar, turns, looks, and it's gone into the bullpen. A two-run homer, Rio Ruiz. 2-0 Orioles. They got three in the first yesterday, and now they take the early lead here.
Recapping the Red Sox loss against the Orioles.
Weber throws, he's on the ropes. And here's a high drive into right field. Pilar turns, races, looks up, and it is gone. That should be the last pitch thrown by Ryan Weber. He has been hammered today. Second two-run homer of the afternoon.
Dial 617-779-7937. Red Sox Review with Brian Barrett. Right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
Oh, well, it has to be better than that. I know that there wasn't high expectations on this particular Red Sox team. This wasn't the expectations that we had on the team a season ago after they were coming off winning a World Series. But that's pathetic. You just dropped 2 out of 3 to a team that lost 108 games. They lost 108 games a season ago, and the Red Sox just dropped 2 of 3 to open up the season at Fenway against the Orioles. Remember, this is a 60-game season. We were talking about the fact that every game is basically like 2.7 games. The games against the Orioles and the games against the Miami Marlins, if you're the Red Sox, based on this new division format, if you will, you have to win those games. You cannot drop 2 out of 3 games to the Baltimore Orioles. What an absolute disaster. So I understand maybe we have to recalibrate where the Red Sox are right now because of what's going on with Eduardo Rodriguez. We're not sure when he's going to be back. And you knew the starting rotation wasn't going to be good. I get all of that. But this, to drop 2 out of 3 to one of the worst teams in Major League Baseball, that's a joke. That's an absolute disaster. And quite frankly, in my mind, it's unacceptable. You can't be dropping a series to this team. Maybe my expectations are too high. Is it too high to take 2 out of 3 against the Baltimore Orioles? Am I too crazy that I'm upset and pissed off with what I saw this weekend? I mean, that was disgraceful. Atrocious from the Red Sox. And by the way, let me get to the manager real quickly here. I don't understand how there's no urgency with Ron Renicki. We've now seen this for 2 consecutive days. And what I'm alluding to tonight, or today, I should say, I keep saying tonight, today, what happened today that irritated me was the fact that Ryan Weber came out for the 4th inning. So I understand that it's a long season or it's a short sprint, so you're trying to make sure you can eat up innings. But what told you in that game? What told you in that game that Ryan Weber wasn't going to continue to get hit and that you are already playing with fire? You were lucky at that particular point that it was only a 3-1 ball game. The Orioles were all over him. And not to mention, he's supposed to be a control guy. And he had no control of his pitches today, whether it was he was walking guys or whether it was the fact when he put the ball in the zone, they were hammering it. What told you as the manager of the Red Sox today that you know what's going to happen? Ryan Weber's going to find it in the 4th. He didn't find it in the 1st, the 2nd, or the 3rd inning. Even the 2nd inning, which is an inning he didn't give up a run, he walked the 8 hitter. By the way, I don't understand that either. The Red Sox walked the 8 hitter in the Orioles lineup three times today. The eight hitter. They walked him three times. I don't know what the hell is going on. But the fact that we mentioned that you have to win as many possible games as you can against the Orioles because the rest of your schedule is awfully difficult. You got the Mets coming in here tomorrow, and then you're going to go to New York to play them twice, and then you got to play the Yankees. You got to play the Yankees next weekend. Good luck. Good luck with the way things went against the almighty Baltimore Orioles. Get ready for the Yankees. That could be embarrassing. This is embarrassing in and of itself. Imagine what that's going to be like next weekend against the Yankees with Judge and Stanton and all those guys. I mean, good luck. It's going to be an utter disaster coming up next week if they don't turn things around very, very quickly. And quite frankly, they can't find outs right now. But when you think about what has happened the past 2 days, we knew that Ryan Weber was done in the third inning. At least I did watching the game. He had nothing. He wasn't tricking anybody. He throws the ball, what, 87, 88 miles an hour. Nobody was missing anything Ryan Weber put in the strike zone. And if Ryan Weber doesn't have his control, I'm sorry. He shouldn't be out on the mound because he's somebody that needs his control to be effective. He pitches to contact, not a high strikeout guy. So clearly, if he doesn't have his control, he's not going to give you anything good, and you let him go out there for the fourth inning, considering the fact you got all these guys in the bullpen that can go multiple innings when you're talking about the Brewers of the world and the Marcus Waldens of the world. In fact, Walden's really good going multiple innings. We saw that all of last year. So instead of doing that, and remember, Barnes pitched one inning in this game. Workman wasn't even used. So, and again, that's another thing with the urgency. In the ninth inning, why don't you bring in Workman? I don't understand that. Well, then what if you tie up the game? You don't have anybody for the 10th. Let's get to the 10th, okay? With this Red Sox team, let's get to the 10th inning. Workman didn't even pitch in the series. Okay, so when you just factor all these things in, I don't know where the urgency is with the manager. It's a 3-1 game at that particular point in time. Be lucky that you got through those three innings with Weber pitching the way he was. Get him out of the game. Get him out of the game right then and there, and then you're still in a position where you could possibly win. And I go back to a couple of other things with the manager, Ron Renneke, and some of the issues I've had in this first series as the Red Sox lost 2 of 3 to the powerhouse that is the Baltimore Orioles. So just think about these couple things, which tells you I don't really know what the manager's doing in the dugout at times. So he doesn't challenge the Chavis tag on Davis on that Vasquez pickoff attempt. Why the hell not? Somebody needs to answer me that question. What was the manager doing there? Now, I don't understand this at all. You have Walden face Nunez, who hit 31 home runs a year ago, without even looking at that. So you can say, okay, well, it's a close play. Maybe they don't overturn it. Okay, well, why not take a look at it? That's what I'm talking about with urgency. How are you not thinking at that point in time? It's a really close play at first base. It looks like you have Davis, and maybe they say, you know, it's too close to call, whatever. I get that. I get that could be the end result, but why don't we find out? Can we at least find out? I don't understand. You have challenges. Is he not aware that you have challenges? Why not use them? And then I start to think about some of the other things. On Friday, remember, he didn't challenge the play that Chavis made the tag on the runner when, remember, Devers threw it over to first to Chavis and the ball was high, and Chavis came up with it, then flicked the glove down to make the tag. It appeared on the replay that he was out. And even in real time, it's like, well, did he tag him? And he didn't challenge there. And at that point, you're up 4-0, but that put runners on the corners with one out for Eovaldi. And luckily, you get Davis to ground into a double play, but you were playing with fire there. You were completely playing with fire. I don't understand. Is the manager unaware that you can challenge plays? So two close plays in this first series that he didn't challenge. Now, luckily for him, it didn't end up costing him, but what the hell's going on? Somebody needs to make him aware of the fact that, hey, let's get this together here. Let's show some urgency, okay? And then we all know what happened yesterday. In the seventh inning, he brings in Dylan Covey, and it was basically pre-planned, preordained before the game that, hey, Covey's going to get in there because we're sending him to Pawtucket after the game, so let's allow him to get some work. So when it's 5-2 in the seventh inning of the ballgame, instead of going with one of your good relievers, like a Matt Barnes, for example, you decided to go with Dylan Covey just because he was going to be going down to Pawtucket. That, to me, is just baffling. That, to me, is mind-numbing decision-making. I understand that you had a plan to get him into the game, but you're only down 3 runs. It's 5-2 at that point in time. And when the Orioles relievers come back out there, it's easier to pitch when it's a 5-2 game rather than a 7-2 game. It's not that difficult to understand that. So I don't understand why Ron Renneke felt like, I need to get this guy in. You won the night before 13-2. If you want to mess around and you want to see what Covey can do on the mound, you get him into that game. So that's just another example of the urgency here with the manager. I don't understand it. Today it was, he didn't get Ryan Weber out of the game early enough in my mind. And then last night, or yesterday rather, he decided to put Covey out there just because they were sending him down and they needed to see if he could pitch a couple of innings. And now he goes down to Pawtucket. They're going to try to get more innings out of him. Well, why don't you at least go with one of your premier relievers? And you know what's crazy? Decide to, oh, maybe we have to change the plan because we're playing a game today that we're trying to win. It just feels like, in my mind, the way to summarize Ron Renneke's first series as the Red Sox skipper, zero urgency. That's what I would say. Zero urgency whatsoever. Okay, and let's get to Ryan Weber, because Ryan Weber is somebody that I don't want to hear this anymore about Ryan Weber. Oh, should have seen him in spring training. Oh, he was great. Summer camp. Oh, yep. Weber had it going on in summer camp. I'm done with that. Please don't ever bring that up to me again, that Ryan Weber had a good summer camp and that Ryan Weber had a good spring training 1.0. I don't want to ever hear that crap again about Ryan Weber, because we've been hearing it through the Red Sox for the past couple of weeks. Hey, wait till you see with Weber. Wait till you see what Weber can do. Well, we saw exactly what Weber can do, and we saw that he looked like the guy that has a career 5.04 ERA and had a 4.20 ERA a season ago. So right off the bat, goes badly for him. First inning, he gets Hayes to pop out, gets Santander to line out, and at that point, you're actually feeling good. But then Iglesias, who, oh, by the way, what the hell's up with that? Iglesias, at the beginning of the series, I was mocking the fact that he's the three-hitter for the Baltimore Orioles. He killed the Red Sox. He absolutely destroyed the Red Sox this weekend. So, by the way, nice hitting by Iglesias. It was a breaking ball away that he lifted into right field. And then Rio Ruiz, 85-mile-a cutter, high in the zone, 2-0. Home run. Absolutely bombs it. So you're 2-0 right away. So it felt a lot like yesterday with Martin Perez, where the lineup, and the lineup can be a lot better. You got 2 runs yesterday against the Orioles, and you mustered up a total of 4 today. Okay, so the lineup can perform a lot better as well. It's not just the pitching staff, it's the lineup as well. The lineup has to be better. Bottom line, no doubt about that. Especially considering the fact, if this team was going to do anything this year, we knew that it was a team that was going to have to rake and be a top five offense in Major League Baseball. And quite frankly, through the first 3 games of the season, they haven't been relatively or anything close to that. Now, they were good on Friday night, but Saturday, Sunday, not so much. But then in the second inning, you're in a situation where he walked the 8-hitter Cisco, who hit .210 a season ago. You got out of the inning with no damage, but you can't be walking the 8-hitter, right? Then in the third inning, he walks Santander to start the inning. Again, this is a control guy. Ryan Weber is supposed to be a control pitcher, and he's walking the guy to lead off the inning. Iglesias hammers a ball to the wall, killing the Red Sox once again. Way too much of the plate. 88 miles an hour in the middle of the plate. Easy for Iglesias to hit that. Again, this is what the issue with Ryan Weber is. If he can't locate his pitches, they're going to hammer him. Even if it's the Baltimore Orioles, these are major league hitters. You throw the ball 88, 87 miles an hour over the middle portion of the plate, it's going to get killed, and that's what happened to Weber. And this was massive, too, in my mind, that the Orioles get another run there to make it 3-1, because this is just after you created some momentum for yourself and Christian Vasquez hit that home run. You needed a shutdown inning badly from Ryan Weber, and he couldn't give it to you. And then in the fourth inning, in my mind, he should have never been out there. He was already showing you in the first 3 innings he didn't have his control. They were hammering anything he put in the strike zone, and he was walking guys all across the ballpark. So in my mind, at that point in time, if I'm Ron Renneke, enough's enough. We've seen enough from Ryan Weber. Maybe you get out of there, and maybe you still win the baseball game because you took Weber out at the appropriate time, but you didn't if you were Ron Renneke. And quite frankly, Weber didn't deserve to go out there for the fourth inning if you were actually trying to win the ballgame. Then in the fourth inning, as we mentioned, Nunez singles to start the inning on a curveball. Second straight inning with the leadoff hitter on. At that point, even if you sent him out for the fourth, aren't you like, okay, it's starting to get ugly for Ryan Weber? No, no, no. He walked Cisco. Again, he walked the 8-hitter on 5 pitches. A control guy. Probably time to get him out then. No, no, no. He looks good. We got, yeah, Weber's getting through this one. Nope. Sack bunt. So you got second and third with 1 out. Brings up the top of the order with Hayes. Hayes, 1-2 count, he's looking soft. Weber comes back with that cutter, but it's only 85 miles an hour. This was the pathetic thing. So he fouled it off. He was fooled by the pitch, but he still had this weird check swing because it was 85 miles an hour, he was able to follow it off. Anybody else that fools a batter like that? Like if Eduardo Rodriguez, if somebody's looking soft for Eduardo Rodriguez and he throws you a 94 mile an hour fastball, you're not hitting it, right? But with Weber, it's 85 miles an hour. And then Hayes eventually hammers an 81 mile an hour changeup to the track to make it 4-1. And then Santander hammers a changeup for a home run. 6-1. Ball, by the way, is out of the zone. That's how bad it was. The ball was out of the zone and he hammered it. But wouldn't you think after 4-1, you know what, maybe we go get him. No, let's keep Ryan Weber in there. Eventually he gets chased. But it's horrible performance. Horrible performance from Ryan Weber. And I don't understand why there's no urgency in the dugout to get him out of the game when he's struggling that poorly. And by the way, it feels like the Red Sox are just like enamored with Weber because he had that one good start against the Blue Jays last year where it was 6 innings and 1 earned run. And ever since that point, he's really struggled. His next start was against Cleveland. He gave up 7 earned. A game in September against the Blue Jays, 4 earned in 2 2/3 innings. He's supposed to be this control guy. And today, 3 walks in 3 2/3. And 2 of those walks really hurt him. 3rd inning, after you get the run back, thanks to the home run from Vasquez, he ends up walking Santander. Very next batter, Iglesias hammers a ball. And it's 3-1. Then in the 4th inning, you give a situation where you walk the... You give up the leadoff hit to Nunez, and then you walk the 8-hitter, as we mentioned, Cisco on 5 pitches. And then all of a sudden, they're off to the races of the Orioles, and they put up a couple more runs, and you look up, and it's 6-1. So the walks really hurt Ryan Weber, a guy that his game is supposed to be predicated on his control. He had no control whatsoever. 617-779-7937 is the number. Are you as frustrated as I am with the Red Sox this weekend? Let's get to Jesse in Montreal. Jesse, what's up? Hey, Jesse, what's up, man?
Oh, not too much. Definitely didn't see a lot of urgency this weekend. Kind of like reminded me of the offseason where they just spent the whole time saying how we should have traded Mookie Betts, where they did nothing to improve the pitching. Well, we sent off 2 pitchers that could basically, you know, give us a lot of innings for the year. Baltimore did what they had to do. They played small ball. They had power. They played Iglesias in the 3rd role. They were very resourceful, and the Red Sox really didn't do anything to match that. They just kind of played it lethargically. I mean, like, Eovaldi had a good night on Friday, but besides that, Baltimore, you know, they did what it took to win. Now they're tied for 1st place. And the Red Sox, I don't know who the manager is, but, like, I couldn't really tell this weekend, but, you know, he didn't really do a good job. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I appreciate the call, Jesse. His line's open if you want to grab it at 617-779-7937. The manager's Ron Renicki. I don't know what the hell he was doing this weekend. On the other side, you see the Orioles, sacrifice bunting, sack flies, situational hitting. You saw none of that from the Red Sox whatsoever. None of that. The manager had 2 opportunities to make challenges this weekend. He didn't do it. I have no idea what the hell was going on there. And in terms of how he's been handling the pitching staff and the bullpen, I still have no explanation for some of the decisions he's making. No explanation for it whatsoever. The Covey thing really irritated me yesterday, and this Ryan Weber thing irritated me today. I don't know why he was out there that long. And I get it's only 3 2/3, and you want more out of your starters. But when your starter's not good and you lost a game yesterday, that's when you should have said, okay, it's time to get him out, and let's go with these guys in the bullpen, see if we can keep this manageable to give our offense a chance to come back in the game. And quite frankly, Ron Reinicke didn't do that. 617-779-7937 is the number. Brian Barrett with you for the next 2 hours or so here on Red Sox Review. What do you take from this weekend? From the Red Sox dropping 2 out of 3 to the Orioles. Should this be the expectation going forward? Should we just expect the Red Sox are going to suck all season long? Or are they too good to perform this poorly? And also, what do you think of Ron Renicki's first opportunity in a series as the Red Sox manager? In my mind, it wasn't that good. Like to get your take on that at 617-779-7937. We'll get you trending in just a second here on WEI.
OMF. Weekdays from 2 to 6. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. The Sox lost to the Orioles 7-4. Baltimore took 2 of 3 in the series. Ryan Weber took the L on the mound. Weber gave up 6 earned runs in 3 2/3. Kevin Pillar and Christian Vasquez homered in the loss. The Sox will host the Mets tomorrow at Fenway. Coverage begins at 6:30 on the Shaw's and Star Market, WEEI Red Sox Radio Network, with Joe Castiglione and Will Fleming on the call. Sox southpaw Eduardo Rodriguez confirmed Rob Bradford's report that he's dealing with myocarditis after his bout with COVID-19. Myocarditis is an inflammation of the heart, which is commonly caused by viral infections. Rodriguez will be reevaluated this week. The lefty said he will return this year.
We'll have Sunday Night Baseball for you on WEEI starting at 7 as the Braves take on the Mets. The Seas beat the Suns 117-103 in an exhibition game this afternoon. Jaylen Brown led the way with his 21 points in 27 minutes. Kemba Walker, who's been battling knee soreness, finished with 6 points in his 9 minutes. The Green will take on the Rockets on Tuesday in their final tune-up game. The Seas' first official game of the restart will be August 31st against the Milwaukee Bucks. Elsewhere in the NBA, Clippers guard Lou Williams has been placed in 10-day quarantine after the league investigated what he did while on an excused absence from the Orlando bubble. Williams attended a funeral and then had dinner at a strip club in Atlanta. That's what's trending now on WEI and WEI.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
What stuff was that for you, Ryan? Set you on a pretty good roll in the spring and in the summer camp just to kind of not have it today.
Yeah, you know, definitely the first game jitters and, you know, how I've been pitching, you know, albeit it's exhibition games and spring training, but up until now I felt good. And, you know, even in the bullpen, I felt good. And then I just got out there and, you know, couldn't command my fastball. Threw a couple good changeups and maybe a couple good sliders, but overall the command was not there. And, you know, that's something I'm not used to, but I have to figure out a way to get better and know what I have to do when I'm not commanding the baseball, you know, to keep the team in the game.
All right, that was Ryan Weber after his performance today. 3 2/3. He gave up 6 hits, 6 earned runs. He also walked 3, and he's supposed to be a guy that, hey, controls the strike zone really well. Well, apparently not today. I don't understand also how the manager kept him out there as long as he did. You would think that after that third inning, you felt like, all right, we got out of 3 with this guy. We're not sending him back out for the fourth inning. And then after Hayes hits the sacrifice fly, and I understand you got guys on base, but at that point, you can't let him pitch to Santander, and Ron Renicke did, and what happened? He had a home run. At some point, you got to use these guys in the bullpen when your starter, that's what technically Ryan Weber is. He was an opener last year, and this year he's a starter. Supposed to be a big piece of this rotation for the Red Sox, and that's what happens. It's really pathetic to see what has gone on the past 2 days in terms of the pitching staff when you look at Perez yesterday and then Ryan Weber today. This Red Sox team was outpitched by Alex Cobb and Wade LeBlanc. Those are the two guys that outpitched the Red Sox the past couple of days because the Red Sox have Martin Perez and Ryan Weber on the mound. 617-779-7937, the number. Let's get to Chuck in Plymouth. What's up, Chuck?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. You know, I look at this Red Sox team, and, you know, a lot of people think that beginning of the season that pitching is going to be ahead of the hitting, and I don't think that's been the case, you know, as far as the Red Sox playing the Orioles. And just going forward, man, I just think that right now it just seems like a big, giant extended spring training. Seems like it's all, you know, September call-ups. If there's ever a year that the Red Sox just kind of want to dabble and throw it away, it brings me back to the Bobby Valentine year. I don't think this team has the heart and soul and the intent and purpose to win from management on all the way down, from letting Mookie Betts walk to what we got right now, man. I don't think we have a one or two guys to start to win a playoff game. I think the whole thing is just a lost season.
Yeah, Chuck, it just seems like when you see some of the things that the manager did, like yesterday, making sure that Covey got his innings, it's kind of like, well, are you trying to win this game? Or are you just looking to get through the season? It felt like there's no urgency with the team.
No, there's not. And I've heard that, you know, the mathematicians say that one win is like 3.7 wins of a regular season,
right,
due to the
right.
short season.
Yeah.
And, I mean, when you look at it and all, you've got nothing to lose. Some people find it exciting. A 60-game, you know, down the stretch they come, see what's going to happen out of this. But overall, I just think the whole thing is a wash, and I don't think that if, you know, like the fish rots with the head down. I don't think the ownership really cares to win. I mean, they've got their rings here. I think they're done. I think the team needs to be sold and get somebody in here that maybe has the heart and intent and soul of the fans to win again. I think it's time for John Henry to move on.
Well, hey, I appreciate the phone call, Chuck. I think that's a little unfair. This is an organization that has won 4 recent World Series, and it's not as if they're not willing to spend money. They've been the highest payroll team in baseball the past 2 seasons. It has nothing to do about spending money or anything along those lines. They have decided that they're going to go in a different direction, where this is a start to a rebuild. That's now where the Red Sox are at. They're in a rebuild-type situation. But I thought there was enough talent right now for this team to at least be competitive. Remember, we're not asking the Red Sox to be World Series contenders. We are asking them to be one of the 8 best teams in the American League. That's it. One of the 8 best teams, you get in. If you do that, in my mind, you feel like, all right, this is a success. We're able to get enough pitching. Our lineup was really good. We got ourselves into the postseason. But the way they played this weekend against one of the worst teams in baseball, if not the worst team in baseball, I don't see how the Red Sox are going to string this together. And 2 of the guys that we were told, hey, Martin Perez, they found something with him. Okay, well, we'll see. He had a 5.12 ERA last year, and yesterday he looked like that pitcher. Hey, Ryan Weber. He's going to be different this year. Really like Ryan Weber. Okay, what does he do today? Lays a complete egg, and the manager kept him in the game too long. And just so you properly understand how bad this Orioles team is, last year they were 22nd in runs. They were 21st in average. They were 25th in OPS. They were 24th in on-base percentage. And they were 23rd in home runs. And oh, by the way, their best player, Trey Mancini, unfortunately is dealing with colon cancer. He's not playing the entire season. He had 35 home runs last year. He's not even in the lineup. He is not in the lineup for the Baltimore Orioles, and they still smoked the Red Sox pitching. Absolutely smoked the Red Sox pitching. So what I'm asking for is pretty simple from the Red Sox. I don't think it's a big, tall ask, if you will. All I was asking for is this team to be competitive and this team to take the season seriously, because right now I don't see a manager that is putting his team in positions to win, or a position to win. And I'm not saying the players are without blame, but you have to ask yourself the question, why is Weber in the game today? Why is he still in the game in the 4th inning? And yesterday, why are you putting Covey into the game in the 7th inning when it's 5-2? You still have an opportunity to win that baseball game. And because he's going down the next day, you figure, hey, let's get him in there because he's not going to be on the roster the next day. Well, things change with the way that the game is going. When the game is going that way and it's 5-2 and you're starting to come back, that means, okay, we had this plan to get Covey in. Unfortunately, we're in a baseball game. I wouldn't think the manager would be upset about that. I thought the manager would be like, oh, we got a chance to win. Let's get Barnes up. Let's get Barnes in the damn game. No, instead he's thinking, oh, well, he's going to Pawtucket. We got to see what he can get in terms of innings. Let's take advantage while he's here. And then all of a sudden we're in a situation where, okay, it's 7-2 now. And you're out of the game at that point. Bottom line. And then today, you got away with Ryan Weber through 3 innings. The fact that he only allowed 3 runs in the first 3 innings, the Red Sox should have considered themselves lucky at that point. And then he kept letting him go in the 4th inning, and it was a disaster. 617-779-7937, the number. Let's get to Ken in California. Ken, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
How you doing? Listen, a couple things. One, Benny is not a leadoff hitter.
Period. I agree.
He proved that last year. Okay, number 2, J.D. Martinez does not hit number 2. Not ever.
Hold on, Ken. Hold on, Ken. So let's have a back and forth here. I agree with your first point. I made it yesterday, and I made it before the season. Andrew Benintendi's never been comfortable in the leadoff spot. This is a horrible mistake by the manager, considering the fact, and he only pinch hit today, and he looked awful in that at bat. But considering the fact that last year they tried to make this switch, and Andrew Benintendi was not good in the leadoff spot, why, if Ron Renicki was here last year and he saw that, why the hell he's hitting him leadoff is beyond my imagination. I don't understand it whatsoever. Now, today, obviously, he just pinch hit. But with the JD thing, like, I understand he doesn't look like a traditional two-hitter, but JD Martinez is hitting fine. I don't get the big deal with JD hitting in the two spot. Like, there's a lot of things you complain about right now, but I don't think that's a big thing to have a problem with. How is that hurting the team? JD's been hitting.
Well, here's the thing. The thing is that the guy in front of him is not getting on, okay? And number two...
yeah, but how is that JD's fault, Ken? Theoretically...
It's not JD's. No. It's not JD's fault. He's a tremendous hitter, but he belongs in the three or four spot, not in the two spot. And thirdly, today, I mean, I know that Benny is not going well, but the guy brings in a right-handed pitcher to face Peraza, and Benny sits on the bench. Moreland sits on the bench. I think this guy in the dugout's brain dead. He's a bench coach, and that's it.
Ken, I don't know what's going on with him. You can go through a bunch of things that have happened over the past 2 days. How about these two close plays that he didn't challenge? Now, he gets away with it, but why the hell aren't you challenging those? Like, that makes no sense to me. The fact that you have Covey on the mound yesterday makes no sense to me. This fact that Weber's in the game as long as he was today makes no sense to me. I don't understand. The Benintendi thing makes no sense to me. I don't know what exactly Ron Renicki's doing right now.
I don't. The thing with not challenging... I mean, I was pulling my hair out, and the idea that Benny and Moreland sitting on the bench, mm-hmm. not pinch hitting, who is a good pinch hitter, by the way, you know that.
Good hitter, period, Ken. Andy gets off to good starts. I mean, what was it, the first month in four games last year, he had 8 home runs. Heck, he had a home run yesterday.
Exactly. And the other thing is, Brian, do you think they're going to win 25 games?
At this point, no, it doesn't look that way, Ken. And another thing I would mention about Moreland is, you know how you should show some urgency with that guy is, I don't even know if Chavis should be platooning every day right now. I mean, he looks horrible at the plate.
Yeah, he's swinging at anything above his waist.
I mean,
anything.
And look, Ken, I appreciate the call, Ken, as always. His line's open at 617-779-7937. If you throw a fastball up into the zone to Chavis, he can't hit it. Remember last year he came up, unbelievable start. Oh, this guy's hitting massive home runs. Well, now the book's out on Chavis. Throw a ball upstairs. He's not going to lay off it, and he's not going to hit it. So I don't know what's going on. It's the same thing over and over again with Chavis. The book's out on the guy. You throw him a fastball upstairs, he's not going to hit it. Let's get to Owen in Westford. What's up, Owen?
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Yeah, I was just saying, Weber, the guy couldn't pitch for the Lowell spinners. And again, you know, this season, to me, it's not really a season, but, you know, 60 games, no fans, whatever. But, yeah, Renegade looks like he doesn't belong. But I think it's like the Keystone Cops. But it's just maybe in a couple of years they'll get it together. But it's really a joke right now.
Yeah. Hey, Owen, appreciate the phone call, man. That's the thing is it's unfortunate, right? Where you went from a team where a couple of years ago we were talking about, oh, this pitching staff's going to be great, and it was. And now we're in a position where the Boston Red Sox, one of the best teams in the sport over the past 2 decades, right? Constantly competing, winning World Series. Their rotation goes as follows. Nathan Eovaldi coming off an injury, who was good Friday. Not taking anything away from Eovaldi. He was good Friday, okay? But after that, the guy that started the second game of the Red Sox, or for the Red Sox, was Martin Perez. He had a 5.12 ERA last year. He had an ERA north of 6 a season ago. And he had the worst whip in Major League Baseball. And the guy starting today is Ryan Weber, who, by the way, is already on his 4th Major League team and has never made an opening day roster. And he's out there and he has to play a critical role for the Red Sox this season. It's just a sad state to see where the Red Sox are right now. And the fact that they, and I know there's some guys in the pipeline now, the fact that they, when's the last time they've developed a good starting pitcher? Can somebody tell me that? Eduardo Rodriguez wasn't their guy. They traded for the Orioles to get Eduardo Rodriguez.
It would have to be Lester.
Yeah, probably Lester. Buckholz was good for a couple of years and then he tailed off. But in terms of the starting rotation, they've done a poor job. This is going back multiple different front offices, if you will. They haven't had a good starting pitcher that's been homegrown in a while. All right, 617-779-7937 is the number. Brian Barrett with you up until 7 o'clock. It's Red Sox Review. I cannot wait to hear from the manager. Hopefully we get an explanation on why he left Ryan Weber out of the mound so long. We'll do that in just a little bit here on WEI.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Dial 617-779-7937. Now, Red Sox Review on WEEI.
When you're looking at a situation, I guess, where you have possibly an opener tomorrow, then start piecing together the rotation, you know, for the Tuesday game, and then, you know, in the last 2 days, the pitchers haven't been able to go deep into the game. How difficult does that make it for you guys going forward with your bullpen?
Yes, it makes it difficult trying to decide, like, how far do we go with Weber? Do we try to get him through, which we tried to, through 4 innings? And if we can do that, we feel like we're better off. We can piece it together and put in the pitchers that we'd like to try to keep us close to come back and win the game. And then thinking about tomorrow and the next day makes a difference. So that's on our mind when we make the decisions. And sometimes they go well, and sometimes you leave a guy in too long. You know, you can. After the home run, you could say we left Weber in there an out too long.
Yeah, I'd say so. Ron Reneke says, hey, sometimes you can leave a pitcher in too long. And maybe after the home run, you could say we left him in there a little bit too long. Yeah, you did. You left him in there a little long. No doubt about that. Brian Barrett with you up until 7 o'clock, 617-779-7937, the number. So I understand and I can have some empathy for Ron Reneke in the sense that this team does not have a lot of pitching. And especially with the news of Eduardo Rodriguez, he's going to be reevaluated next week. With the fact that one of your big guys and your main guy in the rotation is not available right now, you have to find a way to eat up innings. But at some point, and I understand that Ron Reneke's up against it when it comes to that, but clearly the plan was at least get 4 innings out of Ryan Weber. So it took the Orioles putting up 6 runs until you actually pulled them out of the game. Because the issue I have is you need to be trying to win all these games against the Orioles, and I feel like the manager hasn't been all in the past couple of days, and this is an example of it. This is an example of it where he says you wanted to get 4 innings. The question was asked about, hey, knowing that you're going to need to use an opener, how important was it to get Weber to go longer in the game? And clearly that's what he's thinking about. And I understand that managers have to think that way at times, but when the game has a chance to get away from you, you have to stop it there and you have to say, you know what, scrap it. We'll figure that out tomorrow. We'll worry about tomorrow when we get to tomorrow. And I remember earlier in the week, Ron Reneke was doing his interview with OMF, and they were talking about the fact that, hey, Chaim Bloom knows how to use these openers. He did it in the past when he was in Tampa Bay. And Ron Reneke said, yeah, I've been taking a lot of advice, I'm paraphrasing, from Chaim Bloom over the past couple of weeks since he came over and during spring training, et cetera, about how to use the opener. And one of the things that Reneke pointed out that Chaim Bloom told him is, hey, if your starter doesn't perform well the day that the day before, then you got to adjust your plan. So the issue for me is Ron Renneke never adjusted his plan. 3-1, you got three innings out of Weber. Clearly at that point in time, you could tell that Weber just didn't have it. A guy that is supposed to be able to locate his pitches, that's supposed to be the thing about Weber. Okay, he doesn't throw fast. That's an understatement. He throws like 88 miles an hour in terms of his fastball. He wasn't finding the strike zone whatsoever. He was walking the eight hitter, right? At that point, you have to realize the guy doesn't have it. He doesn't have it whatsoever, so it's time to get him out of the game. Instead of thinking about, hey, well, what's going to happen tomorrow if we don't get four innings out of Weber? Well, we saw what happened today when you sent Weber out there for the fourth inning is he got hit all over the ballpark, and it was a disaster. And at that point in time, it's 6-1, and the game's almost over. Now, you still have a chance to get back in it, and luckily the Red Sox lineup came up with something offensively. But at that point in time, when you're down 6-1, it's just incredibly deflating. That's a tall task to come back from a 6-1 game, and the manager had the opportunity to pull him on multiple occasions. After it's 4-1, you can take him out of the game, and you still didn't do it. Guys like Colton Brewer, guys like Marcus Walden, we know they can go multiple innings. So all you would have to make up is one additional inning. If you took him out after the third inning, all you're making up is one additional inning. And that means, oh, how about this guy Brandon Workman? Maybe he could actually pitch in the series, who's supposed to be the best reliever on the Red Sox, right? So you never got to that. That's another thing that quite frankly pissed me off, is the ninth inning, if you're Ron Renneke, it's 6-4. It's a 6-4 ball game. Why is Austin Bryce out there? Why is he in the game in the ninth inning? And I guess the counter argument that Ron Renneke would have is, well, then we wouldn't have anybody to throw in the 10th. And this is the same issue that I had with all these other decisions he's making. Let's worry about that other stuff when you get to that place, right? Because it's not working in the interim. Are we supposed to expect it's going to work against the Mets and the Yankees, etc.? I don't buy into that whatsoever. So if you want to argue, well, hey, if you get to extra innings, then Workman can't pitch the 10th. Well, why can't he pitch two innings? He hasn't pitched all season long. Why can't he pitch two innings? Is that crazy? Or if you really only want to pitch him one inning, then guess what? Bring Bryce into the game for the 10th inning and see what happens there. I'd much rather get to the 10th inning in a tie ball game than have this crap happen where you come in and you're in a situation where Bryce gives up an additional run, and what do you know? It's 7-4. 7-4, a lot different than 6-4 in the ninth inning. It's a lot easier to look at a 6-4 scoreboard and feel good about yourself rather than coming in after the top half of the ninth inning and say, oh, crap, now it's 7-4. A lot different. A lot different in terms of the attitude in the dugout. And one other guy I want to get to real quickly here is I know that Rafael Devers came up with a big hit early in the game where he doubled the opposite way and finally got a hit, but he came up in a real big spot tonight and couldn't come through, or today, I should say, because in the eighth inning, you have an opportunity where the Orioles actually gift-wrapped you an opportunity because Jose Iglesias, who is, well, apparently he's just a hitter now. Apparently he's just going to rake, and his defense going to take a step back because he's only been a defender for, like, his whole career. But anyway, in this game, Martinez, in that eighth inning, remember, hits a ground ball to Iglesias, and Iglesias inexplicably boots the ball. So you're thinking to yourself, all right, now you're playing with some fire here if you're the Orioles. You're in some serious trouble because he's on base as J.D. Martinez, and Devers is coming up behind him. So Devers gets Cole Sulcer, who comes in, and on a 3-1 count, Devers ahead of the count 3-1. At that point, Sulcer's throwing everything away from Devers, and he did a good job not chasing. And then 3-1, a splitter down, way out of the zone. Like, not even close to being a strike, yet Devers offered at it, and he completely whiffed. And that got Sulcer back into the count, and Rafael Devers ends up grounding out to first base. But that was a big spot for Rafael Devers, and he is supposed to be, and he is, one of the best players on this team. Hit north of 30 home runs last year, hit over 300. Really, in the second half of the season, was the best player on the Red Sox, him and Xander Bogaerts. J.D. Martinez was great last year as well. But Rafael Devers really blossomed into a star a season ago. And I thought after getting that hit today earlier on in the game, it would kind of get him back on track. And he did something that we know that Rafael Devers has a tendency to do at times, where he swung at a ball way out of the zone. Now, there's times where Devers can swing at balls out of the zone, and he can hit a double off the wall, or he can hit a home run. But this pitch, a splitter way down, I have no idea why he's offering it that. And I know he's a guy that likes to be aggressive at the plate, but that was just a really bad at-bat for Rafael Devers, considering the fact that you were in a perfect position where you're in control. It's a 3-1 count. And I get the attitude of the player, right? And I'll never take I'll never criticize Devers for his attitude in terms of he wants to be the guy up there. He does. You can tell when Devers is up at the plate, he wants to be the guy with the pressure on him. A lot of guys don't want that, right? Devers clearly wants that. But at some point, you got to realize that it's more important to you to pass the baton to the next guy. Because the guy coming up behind Rafael Devers is Xander Bogaerts. And over the past, or I should say, in this game today, after not having a good at-bat when he pinch hit yesterday, he came up clutch for the Red Sox today and came up with that big hit to make it a manageable game and to make it, what, 6-4 at that particular point in time. So if you're Devers, you got to realize, yeah, you got a pretty damn good hitter coming up behind you in Xander Bogaerts, and you can't be swinging at pitches way out of the zone because that allowed Sulcer to get back into the count, and then Devers goes down, he grounds out, and that's the end of that rally right there. And that was your opportunity right there with JD on base, with Devers coming up, and then Xander Bogaerts coming up after that. That was your opportunity to try to get back into the baseball game, and Rafael Devers just decided to swing at a ball completely out of the zone. And then the other thing is Benintendi. I mean, geez. And I know that it's just three games into the season, but does anybody look less comfortable at the plate right now than Andrew Benintendi? Like, Devers is going to be fine. We know this. Yeah, he swung at a ball out of the zone. He did have a double earlier in the game. We know that Devers is going to be fine. But with Benintendi, are you starting to become concerned about the player? Because I am. He's got way too nice of a swing to be 0-10 to start the season, especially considering last year was basically his worst year in Major League Baseball. And we heard everything about Benintendi was working on things in terms of he felt like he was too big. He was too muscular last year. He wanted to slim down. And when you look at him tonight, and you can't even blame this on the leadoff thing, he was pinch hitting in the ninth inning. That was just a pathetic at-bat. The changeup down, and for the third time this season, I saw Adam right now. The guy looks completely unaware of what his approach is at the plate. He was another guy that the Red Sox were saying, hey, he had a great summer camp and spring training 1.0. He looked dialed in. And clearly right now, he doesn't look dialed in whatsoever. He looks completely lost at the plate. I almost feel bad for the player. Almost feel bad for the guy because this is such a massive season for Andrew Benintendi. Is he going to take a step from being a pretty good player to a really good player? We've all been expecting him to take a step forward. In the past 2 years, quite frankly, he's taken steps back. He's gotten worse each of the past two seasons, which is jarring and shocking to me. He should be coming into his prime as a player, and right now, he just looks completely lost. All right, 617-779-7937 is the number. What do you make of Ron Renicki through his first three games as the Red Sox manager? What do you make of this Red Sox starting rotation? Do I dare even call it a starting rotation? How concerned are you about Andrew Benintendi at the plate? All that on the table at 617-779-7937. Brian Barrett with you right here on WEI.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.